Picture this. It is 2026,
Right.
and you're working right now in Orange County. Like maybe you're listening to this on a commute down the 405,
Or
or
sitting in a coffee shop in Irvine, maybe.
yeah, exactly. Or perhaps you're, I don't know, setting up at a client site over in Newport Beach. The point is, you and pretty much your entire team are constantly jumping around. Home offices, shared workspaces, airport terminals, conference
It's
rooms.
just how business gets done now. It's the
Yeah.
modern way we work.
It really is. But here's the terrifying reality we're exploring today. That exact flexibility, it has completely shattered the traditional office security model.
Completely.
The walls that used to protect your company's data simply do not exist anymore.
Yeah, because the physical walls are gone, the digital walls have had to, fundamentally change.
Right.
The entire concept of a fixed security perimeter, it's completely evaporated.
And that brings us to the mission for this deep dive. We're looking at some really highly relevant research today. It's centered around this report, Strategic Endpoint Security for Orange County Offices 2026.
Oh, it's a great piece of research.
Yeah. And our goal here is to take something that sounds, frankly, incredibly dense, like this abstract IT buzzword called EDR.
Which stands for Endpoint Detection and Response, just to clarify.
Right. We're going to deconstruct it. We want to translate this from technical jargon into a practical, urgent business survival tool for you.
Because if you're running a business or managing a team today, I mean, this is no longer just an IT problem.
No, not
It
in.
is a fundamental operational necessity.
Okay, let's unpack this. Why is a completely new security approach even necessary? Like, what actually happened to the old way of protecting our computers?
Well, the landscape of how we access information, it just shifted completely under our feet. I mean, if we look back just a few years, office security was incredibly straightforward to picture.
Yeah, you went to an office, right?
Exactly. You had employees working from a single known location. The files lived on physical servers sitting in a closet down the hall. And traditional antivirus software was installed on desktop computers that never, ever left the building. That was your protective layer. It was totally static.
So today.
Today, cloud applications hold your most critical client data. Laptops roam across unsecured public Wi-Fi networks at, like, Starbucks.
Right.
Employees are opening attachments on their phones. So a single compromised device, say a laptop left unattended or connected to a sketchy network at an airport,
Yeah, I've done that.
you all have. But that device is now the very first domino in a massive company-wide incident.
So the traditional antivirus software we've all relied on for decades, you know, that little shield icon sitting in the corner of our
One of
screen.
them always needs an update, yeah.
Yeah, that one, it just isn't cutting it anymore. Looking through our research here, it notes that traditional antivirus is entirely focused on hunting for, quote, known bad files. It basically just compares the code on your computer against a massive dictionary of known viruses.
Exactly. It's looking for things it already recognizes.
But EDR does something fundamentally different. It doesn't just look for bad files, it looks for suspicious behavior.
Which is a profound shift. I mean, going from identifying a static object to actually observing an ongoing action.
Yeah, I was thinking about how to visualize this for people. It feels like traditional antivirus is basically a bouncer at a nightclub.
Oh, I like that. A bouncer holding a list of banned people.
Exactly. The bouncer checks IDs at the door. If a known bad guy tries to get in, the bouncer spots the name on the list and turns them away.
Simple enough.
But if a bad guy manages to steal a VIP's ID or uses a disguise that isn't on that ban list yet, they get right past the bouncer.
There he
They're inside. And the bouncer has absolutely no idea what they're doing once they're on the dance floor.
Right, the bouncer's just looking at the front door.
Exactly. EDR, on the other hand, is like having a whole network of security cameras and undercover guards actually inside the club.
Watching what happens after they get in.
Yes. They aren't just checking IDs at the door. They are watching behavior. They're
Yeah.
waiting to see if that supposedly legitimate VIP suddenly walks behind the bar and starts trying to pry open the cash register.
What's fascinating here is how perfectly that analogy captures the mechanics of modern cyber attacks.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Today's attackers rarely use obvious glowing red malware files that a traditional antivirus bouncer would catch.
So they aren't using viruses anymore.
Not exactly. They often use legitimate tools that are already installed on your computer, but they use them in highly suspicious ways.
Oh, wow.
And EDR is watching for those specific behavioral signals. It looks for unusual process activity, credential abuse, ransomware staging. and something called lateral movement.
Wait, let's pause and define lateral movement for the listener, because that sounds really critical to how all of this operates.
It is. Think of lateral movement as the attacker sneaking from the coat check into the VIP lounge and then finding the manager's office.
Moving sideways through the club.
Exactly. They get a foothold on one relatively unimportant device, maybe a receptionist's laptop, and then they secretly navigate through the network to reach the servers holding the actual valuable data.
Sneaking around.
Yeah, and EDR is designed to spot that sneaking behavior in real time.
Okay, that sounds incredibly advanced, but how does the system actually know the difference between a normal employee doing their job and a hacker sneaking around?
That's the big question, right?
Yeah, I mean, if the hacker's using normal tools, what triggers the alarm?
Well, it comes down to a concept called baselining.
Baselining, right.
EDR collects incredibly granular data: what process ran, what file changed, what network connection was made. Over time, it learns what a normal Tuesday looks like for, say, Barbara in accounting.
Okay, so it knows Barbara.
It knows Barbara usually opens Excel, checks her email, and logs into the billing portal from her desk in Irvine.
Normal Tuesday.
Right. So when Barbara's account suddenly logs in at 2.0 a.m. from a foreign IP address,
Oh, that's not Barbara.
no, it's not, and then it attempts to run a PowerShell script.
What's a PowerShell script?
It's just a standard administrative tool that IT uses to automate boring, repetitive tasks. But now it's suddenly trying to modify hundreds of files per second.
Yikes.
Exactly. The EDR immediately knows this is wildly outside of Barbara's baseline behavior.
Wait, so when it sees that anomaly, does it just like send an email to IT and hope someone reads it?
Yeah.
Or does it actually take action?
That is the response part of endpoint detection and response. When
Ah.
the EDR sees that PowerShell script going rogue, it can instantly isolate that compromised machine. It drops the blast doors.
Blast doors. I love that.
Yeah, the machine stays powered on so security teams can investigate what happened. But its connection to the rest of the company, the shared drives, the cloud apps,
Just totally cut off.
all of it is completely severed. It prevents that single compromised laptop from spreading ransomware across the entire network.
Okay, hold on. I'm putting myself in the shoes of a local business owner right now.
Sure.
If I run a 15-person dental practice in Santa Ana, or maybe a boutique real estate firm in Newport, I hear words like internal surveillance and blast doors, and I think of Fortune 500 companies.
Of course. It sounds like overkill.
Right. Why on earth would international hackers care about my local clinic? Aren't these sophisticated attackers only going after the massive global corporations?
It's the most common reaction we hear. But the research points out that it is also a massive blind spot for business leaders today.
Really? Why?
Attackers are specifically targeting mid-sized local offices for two very distinct reasons. First, you have highly valuable data.
Okay, true.
That dental practice holds incredibly sensitive patient health records. That real estate firm holds financial statements, social security numbers, wire transfer details.
Stuff you do not want leaked.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And second, unlike a Fortune 500 company, you do not have a massive internal security team watching your network around the clock.
Ah, so you're a high value, low defense target.
You're the path of least resistance.
Okay, let's make this tangible. What does that actually look like for that 15-person dental practice?
Let's say the receptionist clicks on a highly convincing email that looks like a late invoice.
Happens all the time.
Right. The attacker gets a foothold on that front desk computer. Now, they don't detonate ransomware right there. There's no real value on that specific machine.
It just has schedule stuff.
Exactly. Instead, they use that lateral movement we discussed. They silently map the network, looking for the main server holding all the patient x-rays, the billing databases, the schedules.
And if you just have the old bouncer, the traditional antivirus, it won't see them moving.
Is completely blind to it. Once they reach the server, they lock everything down and demand a ransom.
Wow. And suddenly operations stop entirely. You can't see patients, you can't process billing.
And beyond the immediate revenue loss, there is severe collateral damage. Insurance claims get complicated, healthcare regulatory compliance is breached.
And your patients are going to be furious.
Exactly. Customer trust evaporates because you have to explain to your patients why their sensitive health data was exposed.
That's a nightmare.
So this level of behavioral surveillance isn't just some technical luxury for big corporations. For mid-sized businesses, it is the absolute bedrock of business continuity.
Okay, so the stakes are undeniably massive, and the tool itself is incredibly powerful. But that brings us to a really significant operational hurdle.
Alert fatigue.
Yes. Because EDR catches absolutely everything, right? It's constantly baselining behavior. That creates a brand new problem. If you install a system that flags every single slightly unusual behavior, you are going to be drowning in warnings.
You are.
The research is very clear here. An EDR tool is practically useless if nobody is actively reviewing the alerts.
It is the equivalent of installing a state-of-the-art car alarm. But when it goes off constantly for no reason, everyone in the neighborhood just starts ignoring it.
Right, they just tune it out.
Many offices buy these expensive security tools, but they lack the internal time or the highly specialized expertise to interpret what the warnings actually mean.
Because it's hard to tell, right?
Exactly. Is this alert a complex ransomware staging event, or did someone in marketing just install a weird, outdated printer driver?
And most local businesses simply cannot afford to hire a dedicated team of cyber analysts to sit in a dark room looking at screens 24/7.
No, of course not.
So the solution that emerges in the data is MDR, or managed detection and response.
Right, outsourcing it.
Essentially, you partner with external experts, you right. outsource the watching part. This managed partner reviews the endless stream of alerts, tunes out the false positives, escalates the actual threats, and helps coordinate that containment we talked about.
We do the heavy lifting.
Yeah, you get the protection of a full security operations center without the massive payroll overhead. But here's where it gets really interesting. If I'm a business owner paying an external vendor to watch my network, how do you know your vendor isn't just taking your money and auto-forwarding you useless automated alerts? Like, how do you ensure they're actually doing the deep analysis?
And that is the critical distinction between buying a software tool and building a true security capability.
Yeah.
A good MDR provider must do far more than just forward raw data to your inbox. They have to provide plain language finding.
Plain language is key.
Right. They should be able to tell leadership, in clear business terms, exactly what happened, what risk it poses, and what needs to be done.
No IT jargon.
None.
Well.
Furthermore, they need to have heavily documented response procedures. If an alert comes in at 2 a.m. on a Sunday, there should be a defined escalation path. Who gets called? What are the guaranteed response times?
They need to prove they're working.
Exactly. They shouldn't just be performing background tasks. They need to actively make their progress and your risk reduction visible to your leadership team.
Okay, so we've essentially built a high-tech surveillance network, and we've hired a team of virtual security guards to watch it.
Right.
But throwing all this new tech onto a company's network, I mean, that sounds like a great way to accidentally break the accounting software.
It absolutely can be.
How do you actually turn this on across a chaotic company without just stopping the business dead in its tracks?
Implementation requires absolute business alignment. This cannot be viewed as just an IT project.
Because if it is...
If the IT department sees the EDR rollout as urgent, but the finance department sees it as a nuisance that's going to slow down their quarter-end close, the project will fail.
Yeah, finance always wins that argument.
Exactly. You have to translate the technical project into business language that every department understands.
Right. You don't talk to the CFO about telemetry and lateral movement.
Never.
You talk to them about revenue risk, maintaining client trust, ensuring regulatory compliance, and protecting the overall customer experience.
Once you have that alignment, the rollout itself must be meticulously phased. You do not just push a button and install it on every computer simultaneously.
That would be a disaster.
A total disaster. Yeah. You have to start with a comprehensive inventory.
Yeah.
You need to know every single device touching your network. Laptops, shared machines, remote desktops. And importantly, identify your high-risk users.
Because testing is totally non-negotiable here, let's look at a specific scenario from the data.
Okay.
Imagine a local Orange County construction firm that has been using a custom-built estimating software since, like, 2015.
Well, I know the type.
Yeah, it's clunky, it's old, but it runs the whole business.
Yeah.
If you just slap EDR onto the network without testing, EDR is going to watch how that old software operates.
Right, it'll see weird behavior.
It'll see it making weird memory calls that modern apps don't make, flag it as highly suspicious behavior, and drop the blast doors.
Yeah.
Suddenly, nobody can bid on new projects.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, testing and phased rollouts are exactly how you prevent security from becoming the enemy of productivity. You deploy to a small critical group first. You tune the policies. You make sure the alerts are accurate. You ensure those legacy line of business applications keep running smoothly.
And then you roll it out to everyone else.
Only then do you expand. EDR is incredibly important. But looking at the broader C2 ransomware guidance we've been digging into, It is just one layer of a larger resilience strategy.
Just one piece of the puzzle.
Right. It has to exist alongside securing user identities with multi-factor authentication, maintaining offline backups, and conducting regular user training.
EDR is the state-of-the-art alarm system, but you still need to lock the doors and train your staff not to let strangers into the building.
Exactly. It is part of a larger ecosystem.
So let's say the system is running, the managed partner is watching the alerts, and the blast doors are ready to drop if a threat appears.
Sounds good.
When you try to justify the budget for all this ongoing effort, it really just boils down to two things, according to the research. Your cyber insurance and having cold, hard evidence.
Oh, the cyber insurance landscape has shifted massively.
Has it?
Oh, yeah. When you apply for a policy or a renewal today, the questionnaires are heavily focused on endpoint protection and active monitoring.
They want to know you're actually paying attention.
Right. EDR is no longer just a checkbox to say, yes, we have some security. It provides hard, verifiable evidence of your monitoring and containment capabilities.
It is basically the black box flight recorder on an airplane.
That's a great way to put it.
If a breach does happen, you aren't just shrugging your shoulders and guessing how they got in. You have the logs. You have the audit findings.
You can prove to your insurance company, to regulators, to your clients, exactly what was monitored, when the alert fired, what actions your team took, and how the incident was contained.
And that evidence is invaluable during legal or compliance reviews.
It's vital.
Mm-hmm.
But maintaining the system requires acknowledging the human element. The worst thing a company can do is install and ignore.
Set it and forget it.
You can't do that. You have to treat EDR like a living organism in your IT environment.
Because the business changes.
Exactly. If your company buys new laptops or switches to a new cloud software, the EDR rules have to be updated. If the IT team doesn't regularly tune the software to understand the new baseline, it starts blocking legitimate work.
And when security tools start blocking legitimate work, employees get incredibly frustrated.
And frustrated employees are a massive security risk.
They really are. They find workarounds.
Yes. They'll start finding manual workarounds.
Yeah.
They'll start emailing sensitive documents to their personal Gmail accounts just to get their work done, which creates entirely new vulnerabilities.
Just trying to do their jobs.
Right. You have to watch out for the broader warning signs of bad IT infrastructure. If your team relies heavily on those manual workarounds, if internal systems are constantly slow, if major technical decisions are completely undocumented.
Oh, that's a big one.
Or if there are critical tools that only one single person in the entire company understands, those aren't just everyday office annoyances. They are vulnerabilities waiting to be exploited.
So you really have to keep tuning the system. But after the initial rollout, how do you actually measure if this EDR implementation was successful? I mean, how do you know it's working?
This raises an important question. How do you prove the value of the investment?
Right.
The most effective metric we've seen in the research is the 30-day review.
Okay.
30 days after your initial implementation, the leadership team must sit down and compare the current outcomes against the original baseline.
And it has to be real data.
Yes. It cannot be based on subjective impressions like, well, the network feels a bit safer. It has to be documented evidence.
Like what?
Did the number of unhandled alerts go down?
Right.
Are compromised devices being isolated faster? Has the managed partner met their service level agreements? You document those findings, and that written record dictates your next strategic move.
So what does this all mean? If we distill this entire deep dive down, the core takeaway is that in 2026, endpoint detection and response is no longer an IT product that you buy and forget about.
Not anymore.
It's a foundational business capability. It makes attacks significantly harder for criminals to execute, impossible for your organization to ignore, and vastly easier to investigate when they inevitably do happen.
It shifts an organization from a posture of passive hope to active defense.
And I want to connect this directly back to you, the listener, and your daily operations. Look at the friction points in your own company right now.
Yeah, look closely.
Where do your employees wait for slow systems? Where do they duplicate effort? Where do they actively avoid using an internal system because they feel it is unreliable or confusing?
That operational friction is exactly where your hidden security risks lie. Bad processes breed vulnerability.
Exactly.
And that ties perfectly into a final, incredibly provocative thought regarding how we handle knowledge in the workplace.
Let's hear it.
In far too many Orange County offices, risk management depends entirely on memory rather than written documentation.
Okay.
So I want to leave you with this question to mull over today. If a major cyber event happened to your business right now, this very second, How much of your survival plan is actually written down, and how much of it lives solely in the head of one very busy employee?
That is a chilling thought. It takes us right back to where we started. You might have your coffee, you might have your laptop open at the shared workspace in Irvine, but if that invisible bouncer guarding your data is just relying on memory, your perimeter isn't just shattered. It never really existed at all. Something to think about the next time you connect to public Wi-Fi.